ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Hare Krishna. Today morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 20, chapter entitled Bali Maharaj Surrenders the Universe, text number 24. Sandhyam Viborva Sasi Guya Ekshat. Prajapatin Jaghane Atma Mukhyan. नाभ्याम नभ कुकुक्षिषु सप्त सिंधून् नाभ्याम नभ कुक्षिषु सप्त सिंधून् उरु क्रमस्यो रसि चर्क्षमालाम् Translation: Bali Maharaj saw, beneath the garments of the Lord, who acts wonderfully, the evening twilight. In the Lord's private parts he saw the Prajapatis, and in the round portion of the waist he saw himself with his confidential associates. In the Lord's navel he saw the sky, on the Lord's waist he saw the seven oceans, and on the Lord's bosom he saw all the clusters of stars. We also read texts 25 to 29. My dear king, on the heart of Lord Murari, he saw religion, on the chest both pleasing words and truthfulness, in the mind the moon, on the bosom the goddess of fortune with a lotus flower in her hand, on the neck all the Vedas and all sound vibrations, on the arms all the demigods headed by King Indra, in both ears all the directions, on the head the upper planetary systems, on the hair the clouds, in the nostrils the wind, on the eyes the sun, and in the mouth fire. From his words came all the Vedic mantras. On his tongue was the demigod of water, Varundeva. On his eyebrows were the regulative principles, and on his eyelids were day and night. When his eyes were open, it was daytime, and when they were closed, it was night. On his forehead was anger, and on his lips was greed. O king, in his touch were lusty desires. In his semen were all the waters, on his back was irreligion, and in his wonderful activities or steps was the fire of sacrifice. On his shadow was death, in his smile was the illusory energy, and on the hairs of his body were all the drugs and herbs. In his veins were Lord Brahma, the demigods, and the great saintly persons, and throughout his entire body and senses were all living entities, moving and stationary. Bali Maharaj thus saw everything in the gigantic body of the Lord. Text 30. O king, when all the demons, the followers of Maharaj Bali, saw the universal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who held everything within his body, when they saw in the Lord's hand his disc known as Sudarshan Chakra, which generates intolerable heat, and when they heard the tumultuous sound of his bow, all of these caused lamentation within their hearts. Text 31. The Lord's conchal named Panchajanya, which made sounds like that of a cloud, the very forceful club named Kaumodaki, the sword named Vidyadhara, with the shield decorated with hundreds of moon-like spots, and also Akshasyaka, the best of quivers, all of these appeared together to offer prayers to the Lord. Text 32-33. Sunanda Mukhya Upatasturisham Parshada Mukhya Sahaloka Pala Surat Kiritin Gadamina Kundala Shivas Saratno Tamame Kalambare Madhu Vritasrag Vanamalya Vritto Raraja Rajan Bhagavan Urukrama Kshitim Padeke Nabaler Vichakrame Nabashare Nadishascha Bhavuvi. Translation: these associates, headed by Sunanda and other chief associates, and accompanied by all the predominating deities of the various planets, offered prayers to the Lord, who wore a brilliant helmet, bracelets, and glittering earrings that resembled fish. On the Lord's bosom were the lock of hair called Srivatsa and the transcendental jewel named Kaustubha. He wore a yellow garment covered by a belt, and he was decorated by a flower garland surrounded by bees. Manifesting himself in this way, O King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose activities are wonderful, covered the entire surface of the earth with one footstep, the sky, with his body, and all directions with his arms. Purport by His Divine Grace, Shilesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. One might argue, since Bali Maharaj promised Vamandev only the land occupied by his steps, why did Lord Vamandev occupy the sky also? In this regard, Srila Jiva Goswami says that the steps include everything downward and upward. When one stands up, he certainly occupies certain parts of the sky and certain portions of the earth below his feet. Thus, there was nothing uncommon for the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he occupied the entire sky with his body. Hare Krishna. I'd like to beg permission from His Grace Sinaji Prabhu and all the other assembled Vaishnavas before we discuss on Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a very important section from the Bhagavatam, because this section reveals why Bali Maharaj is called as Mahajan. The evidence lies in this section. Because he has passed an impossible test, which an ordinary person will be not able to pass. Because what did he do? He first defied his materialistic guru, who suggested that he not surrender to Vishnu. And to defy such an order itself was an act of great courage and conviction. Because it is not that Bali Maharaj was inimical with his guru. Shukracharya, Bali Maharaj was very grateful to Shukracharya. Because in one of the battles, Bali Maharaj actually lost his life. And his guru brought him back to life. He actually gave him new life. So one can imagine how grateful he must be. But because it was not anukula for devotional service, it was unfavorable for surrendering to Krishna, his instruction. So he rejected. So he therefore he caused disappointment. And Shukracharya cursed Bali Maharaj. So having defied and having done something so extreme in one sense, you know. So what he would expect? What would anybody expect? Okay, now he has taken shelter of Krishna. So Krishna will give him shelter. Logically, that is what we would expect. Like, you know, if they show somebody rejects the society, in the movies they may show somebody rejects the society, fights with everyone for the love of his life. And that love also, that lover also rejects the person. Then what happens? You know, something like that. Bali Maharaj rejected his whole family, and then he surrenders to Lord Vamandev, and Lord Vamandev assumes a gigantic form, and eventually he is arrested for not being able to fulfill his promise. Like, you have given up everything for Krishna, and apparently Krishna is not reciprocating. So that can cause a lot of, you know, you can feel like what they say in Hindi, dhobi ka kutta na ghar ka na ghat ka. You've given up and now you are here, but here also Krishna is not reciprocating. So he has rejected his guru, he has rejected his material relationships to get Krishna's favor, and Krishna is apparently not reciprocating. So this is a very important point, because Bali Maharaj, by taking this big step, or you may call it a risk, of surrendering to Krishna, he is also revealing that Krishna consciousness may not be as smooth as we expect it would be. But he was not wavering. He was fixed in his service, in his commitment to Krishna consciousness. So this is the test for all devotees who are practicing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. We may give up many material comforts and situations which are pleasing to the senses to exclusively serve Krishna. And with whatever little sincerity we have, we may see that we are still not getting reciprocation from Krishna, or we may perceive like that. It's actually not like that. Krishna has given us so much, we just have to be grateful. But many times we feel like that. Oh, is Krishna, why is Krishna not reciprocating? I'm still struggling with the anarthas. So the acharyas explain that coming to Krishna consciousness, you know, adho shraddha, we get little faith, so we come to Krishna consciousness. Like we may go for some program, and the devotee in the Gita course or somewhere, he may speak about how God exists, something logical, scientific, and some little faith we get in devotees in the process of Krishna consciousness. So that is the beginning of Krishna consciousness. That is called as adho shraddha. So as we get that little faith, then we associate with devotees, and they start telling us more about Krishna. So that is sadhu sangha. So there are these 9 stages we go through. So after adho shraddha, then comes sadhu sangha. And when we associate with sadhus, they are not going to keep quiet. They are going to give us the mala. They are going to tell us to chant Hare Krishna. They are going to tell us to follow regulative principles. So bhajanakriya. So adho shraddha, sadhu sangha, bhajanakriya starts. And when bhajanakriya starts, when we start hearing and chanting, then we come to the next stage, which is called as anartha nivritti. That is the stage when the anarthas from the heart, the unwanted things, are getting cleansed. And this is a long process. Adho shraddha, sadhu sangha, bhajanakriya, very fast. Devotees immediately give us mala, and then it's like the graph is going like this. Adho shraddha, sadhu sangha, bhajanakriya. Then anartha nivritti appears to be a long phase like this. You know, it's straight. It appears like that. And then eventually a devotee comes to nishta, ruchi, asakti, bhav, and then finally Krishna prem. But that anartha nivritti, that stage, one devotee, Satsvarup Maharaj, calls it as vast intermediate zone. You know, it is that zone where we feel Krishna is not reciprocating, I'm chanting, I'm feeling sleepy, I have no taste. It's a phase of struggle. And devotees feel that, oh, I'm still plagued by lust and envy despite chanting for so many years. I've given up so much, but still I am not getting taste. So this is the time when a devotee has to be guided by superior intelligence. He has to have shelter of devotees. And then he will be able to survive this long tunnel. Actually, it's Krishna consciousness is blissful. As Akinchan Krishna Prabhu made a very beautiful point a few days back. Krishna consciousness is so simple that we may miss it. You know, so simple, just have to take shelter of Krishna. But because of our own mind, we may feel that there is no reciprocation, and we may be struggling in this long phase. And we may even get depressed, we may get bewildered. But Bali Maharaj is an inspiration. Mahajanoyena gatasa pantha. Bali Maharaj is Mahajan. He is teaching us how we have to imbibe this quality, which Bali Maharaj in particular revealed in this adversity. In this adverse condition, when he was being thoroughly tested, he displayed a very, very important quality of integrity. He made a vow, he made a commitment to Vamandev, and he lived by it, heaven or hell. Although his guru was logically trying to prove to him through scriptural statements that you can take back your offer, but he had made a vow. And this integrity is very important for sadhakas. We have taken vow during initiation. So we have to live by it. That is an expression of surrender to Krishna. Having made a vow to Krishna and to the spiritual master, through the spiritual master, and in the front of deities, and you know, in front of fire, and we in front of Srila Prabhupada, we make this vow. So we have to have integrity. Integrity is a level higher than honesty. Honesty is when we are struggling and we confess, Prabhu, I'm fallen, I'm not good, or I'm not able to follow the regulative principles, I'm not able to chant my 16 rounds. That is honesty. A devotee has to be honest, no doubt. But real honesty is when we know our level, we know where we are, but we don't remain where we are. We make an endeavor to go ahead. So integrity means, see, honesty means to tell what you have done. And integrity means to do what you tell. So integrity is a higher expression of honesty. So, and when we have a high level of integrity, following the footsteps of all the Mahajans, and we abide by the Krishna conscious vows and the standards that we have accepted, and it may be difficult, we may be bewildered, we may not be experiencing reciprocation from Krishna, we may feel that Krishna consciousness is dry, but we don't give up. We have taken a vow and we have faith. With that faith, we continue our process of devotional service with high level of integrity. Then our life becomes successful. And then such a devotee who has a high level of integrity radiates a certain kind of energy. You know, he radiates certain kind of trust. People trust him. We don't have to go on a rooftop and shout, you know, I've come with the message of, you know, Lord Chaitanya. I have to preach. So we have to definitely preach. We have to give the holy name. But for a sadhaka who is preaching, practicing his sadhana bhakti, he has to have a high level of integrity. As one very famous philosopher, Emerson, he had said that what you are as a person, that speaks so loudly that I can't hear what you are saying. So what level of integrity we have, that is what actually preaches in the long run. So we have to endeavor to have high level of integrity and sticking to the vows of Krishna consciousness, the promise that we have made to Krishna. And this integrity is tested actually when we are apparently alone or when we are on our own. You know, this is something, the world looks at personality, the world looks at how you are externally in presenting and how you deal with others. But Krishna sees the character. Krishna sees the substance that we are made of. The world may see the world may, what is that? Radha Gopinath Prabhu says, the world may see the form, Krishna sees the substance. The world may hear what comes from your lips, and Krishna hears what comes from your heart. So like that, integrity creates a strong integrity, creates a sense of trust. People trust us and our preaching becomes effective. There is a story of General Washington. I read many some time back about how when he was fighting a war during the American war was there in the 18th century. At that time, General Washington was hiding from the enemy camp. He was running and he was in disguise. So he went to a small cottage, a small hut where some family was living, couple was living. And he requested them to give him shelter for the night. But they were alarmed in the middle of the night. Some stranger is coming and asking for shelter. They didn't trust him. At the same time, they wanted to give hospitality. So they allowed him inside. But the lady immediately, lady of the house, she locked up all her valuables, jewels. And she very suspiciously put this man, who was General Washington, they didn't know. They put him in a room. They gave him a room to stay. And Washington, he closed the room and he was in the room alone. And he closed his eyes and everybody went to sleep. The other members of the family went to sleep, but he was awake. He was sitting and he was offering prayers to the Lord. He was praying for his country. He was praying for his countrymen. And this couple, they didn't sleep. They, through the keyhole, were seeing him and they were hearing attentively what he was doing. Who is he? And they were shocked to see that he is actually a very genuine person. And he's intensely praying inside, wishing good for his countrymen. So then they immediately became, their hearts changed. And they opened the door, they extended their hospitality, they were very kind to him. And next day when General Washington was going, he offered to pay for the hospitality. They refused to take any money. And that's when he revealed to them that he's General Washington. And he was very happy with them. So this is a classic case where, you know, what we do when we are alone, that determines our character. Actually, we are never alone. Krishna is always watching us. So what we do when we think we are alone, that is what determines our character, our integrity, and Krishna sees that. And that eventually forms the foundation. That is the foundation of our character. That helps in preaching. So we can see that Bali Maharaj, exemplary integrity he displayed. So as sadhakas, we have made a vow of four regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds. And we have to endeavor to live by this. Of course, compared to hypocrisy, honesty is much better. You know, somebody is struggling with hypocrisy, it's better to be honest. But a step higher than honesty is integrity. So, and we have seen devotees in our congregation who have gone through so much struggle, because we are writing a series of articles for our website and for Back to Godhead magazine on the feature called How I Came to Krishna Consciousness. So we were interviewing many devotees. So recently, we had taken a lot of matter from Anandandaman Prabhu. Of course, I'm sure there are many more examples like him in the congregation. But this example is one of those very striking examples how he was a person who had close association of some of the top saints in India. Dongri Maharaj and Murari Bapu were family friends. And each of them, when they give a Pandal program, minimum 100,000 people attend. So he was from childhood attached to these two saintly persons, and he got Krishna conscious training. But when he came to Prabhupada's shelter, when he came to Krishna consciousness with his friend, who is now Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, at that time Devamrit Prabhu, at that time Dilip. So when he came with him, he was so attracted by the Krishna conscious process, and he heard Isolina Pradhana Swami Maharaj lectures, and he heard about Vrindavan, and he heard Srila Prabhupada giving the same thing which his family gurus had given about Krishna Bhakti. But Prabhupada was offering something little higher, you know. He was actually offering pure unalloyed devotional service. Devotional service which is free of any selfish desire for name, fame, profit, just exclusively serving Krishna, for Krishna's pleasure. For this he thought was far out, you know, this was something very high and very profound. So he got attracted to the Krishna conscious process. But then there was a big problem at home. His parents were aghast that you are expecting an American, or you are expecting joining a cult. How can you join a cult? You know, you should accept an Indian guru. So then a lot of problems, and he tried to reason with them. And eventually, he was given an ultimatum. Either you go to ISKCON. If you go to ISKCON, you won't get a penny from your family property. And if you reject ISKCON, then you'll get everything. So he rejected everything for Krishna, for Prabhupada. So then you would expect, okay, now Krishna will give him, you know, that will be nectar. And then he came, and then he had his other problems, you know. So he was explaining such. Krishna tested him at that time also, then test of faith. He went through some problems. And then he wanted to make it big to show his father that, you know, I can do it without your help. So he was wanting to earn money, and that time one of his classmates offered him a very good finance scheme by which he could have become a billionaire in a year. So he was very tempted. He said, now I have a chance to earn a lot of money for Krishna. You know, I will earn this money for Krishna, and then we can serve Krishna. That was his desire. So he was very tempted, but then Devamrit Prabhu, he said, no, this is legal discrepancies. Krishna is the husband of goddess of fortune. He doesn't need such illegal money. And like that, he was trying to convince him. But Anandam Prabhu was saying, no, but this temptation was so much. He struggled. It's not that it was easily. And then with great difficulty, he refused his friend's offer. Although he was having his own struggle financially. But you can imagine what a pain it must have been. You know, he wanted to make it big, and then he rejects that proposal. And then a year later, his friend actually becomes a billionaire. And he calls him for a big finance, some conference in some 5-star hotel. And in that hotel, Anandam Prabhu sees his friend has become a big celebrity. He's a billionaire. And his friend calls him aside and shows him a fleet of cars and says, you know, all these cars, they're all mine. I've become a billionaire. You could have also been a billionaire. You have so much intelligence. You can still join me. And he was thinking, you know, Krishna, I gave up everything for Krishna, and still I'm struggling. And then a few years later, there were the headlines in the newspaper, and all television channels carried this story of how this friend was exposed in the biggest finance scam of the century. And he is now in the jail for so many years. So how Krishna saved him because of the shelter of devotees. So at that time, he said, many things didn't make sense to me. But he had faith. He saw the integrity. He says, he told Devamrit Prabhu that I want to... Devamrit Prabhu called him up and said, you get all my bank savings. So he got from the bank all his Devamrut Prabhu's savings and gave him. And Devamrut Prabhu, Rama Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, he took all that money and put it in the hundi. And Anandam Prabhu is a businessman and he was shocked. So putting all the money. So he is the character of Devamrut Prabhu and his integrity, you know, it impressed him, inspired him so much. So because of that faith he carried, although internally he was struggling. So actually, if you see, most of the devotees have similar kind of stories. Those who have stayed for 2 decades, 3 decades, and they have struggled. So it's not that, you know, give up all material relation, break all material bondings, relationships, and exclusive shelter of Krishna, and then there is no problems. Krishna has never said that there will be no problems in this material world. He has, in fact, certified it as Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam, and devotees are also living in the material world. So it's a very significant point that there is a test, and test means there will be doubts, challenges, and our love for our spiritual master will be shown how we continue to abide by all the vows that we have taken despite lack of so-called experience or bliss. Because, you know, generally the concept of love in the material world through movies they show is love is some feeling that you get if some girl or boy walks by and then, you know, there are some songs and things like that. That is lust and at best harmless infatuation, so-called. But actually love is when there is dedication, sacrifice and a desperation to not break the relationship despite all problems. Being convinced that the problem is my mind, not the external situations. Because there will be always reasons to break relationships with Krishna, with spiritual master, with devotees. Mind will play truant, but we have to abide by these standards. Because familiarity breeds contempt. Initially, we like everything in Krishna consciousness, but as we associate more closely with devotees, we can see faults. So that requires great courage. And Krishna actually gives us all this because he wants us to be convinced that I cannot be happy by any other means except when I become a servant. I am servant. Because all other upadhis are bad. Actually, all other upadhis are cause of anxiety. Sada samud vigna diyam asad grahat. Any other upadhi other than that I am a servant, I am simply a servant, that is always a cause of anxiety. When Srila Prabhupada was, I think, in Vrindavan temple, and there were two very senior Prabhupada's disciples who were having some serious difference of opinion. And both were sannyasis. So, and one of them was a temple president. And both of them had a group of devotees who were supporting them. So Prabhupada had to resolve the dispute. So Prabhupada told one of the sannyasis. Sannyasi means always traveling and preaching. So you should be traveling outside and taking a group of brahmacharis and going out and distributing books and preaching. This is the duty of a sannyasi. And the sannyasi said, yes, Prabhupada. And he went. And then after 2 minutes, he called the other sannyasi. And Prabhupada said, sannyasi means dedicating yourself by staying in one place. So stay here and manage this temple. So he said, yes, Prabhupada. So he also went. So then Gopal Krishna Maharaj, who was at that time a grihastha, and he was there in the room, and he said, Prabhupada, you are so expert, you solved the problem. Such a big problem was building up, but you are so expert, you solved this problem. Amazing, Prabhupada. Jai, Prabhupada. Now there will be no problem. And Prabhupada immediately said, no, there will be problem. As long as we are not convinced that I am simply a servant, nothing else, there will always be problem. In fact, Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur also said, once we accept this upadhi that I am simply a servant, then we are relieved of the burden of being the enjoyer of this world. It's a big burden, wanting to be an enjoyer, wanting to get things for how I can be happy. When we forget Krishna and service to devotees, then there is always anxiety. So this is very important that we get fixed in this position of being a servant, then we can survive this phase. And we can actually be happy. This is the position of happiness. Just like salt is by nature salty, water is liquid, sugar is sweet, the soul's constitutional position is Jivara Swarupai Krishnara Nityadas. This is the position. And when we come to Krishna consciousness, we go through this struggle Krishna is giving that struggle so that we can get convinced of our position and we can be re-established in that position. To help us get fixed in that position, all this purification takes place. If you see, in Krishna consciousness, we have only 40 years ISKCON movement. But if you see the Christian theology, Christian preaching has been going on for almost 2000 years. So they have a lot of literature on the struggle of different preachers, priests, because in the service of God. And there are books, I have seen some of them, of preachers who went through, very powerful Christian preachers, who went through a phase of serious doubt in the existence of Jesus, in the existence of the path that they were following, because they couldn't experience reciprocation from the Lord. So they were feeling, you know, what is happening? So their faith was tested. They've gone through that. In fact, Satchinandan Maharaj gives a very graphic and gory detail of one very famous priest who was struggling with lust in the 15th century. Very famous priest. So he, in an act of desperation to overcome the vanartha, he cut off his genitals. And after a few years, he realized he still has lust. So then he realized that lust is not in the bodily senses and organs, it is in the heart. So he had to go through intense purification, prayers, and then eventually he overcame that anartha. So Satchinandan Maharaj gives in this book, Art of Transformation, such a graphic description about how people have tried so many things, artificial things, because they're desperate to experience reciprocation from God and they're not able to experience it. So there is struggle in devotional service, and one has to be humble, take shelter of the path of Krishna consciousness, chant, and continue with faith. Satsarup Maharaj gives her a very nice example of one very great Christian saint, Teresa of Avila. She writes in her autobiography that for first 40 years, she experienced no reciprocation from God. She says, no, for the first 30 years, she says her first 30 years in the monastery was a life filled with frivolity, a life of inattention and distraction. And after 30 years, Krishna gave her mercy. And she has gone on to become a very great Christian saint. So you can see, even Prabhupada said once, somebody asked him how long it took you to perfect your chanting. Srila Prabhupada said 40 years. I have heard this statement. That means we can't just, because of a little initial difficulty, we have just spent 5-6 years or some 10 years also. We should not just get disheartened. We have many examples of devotees who have persevered during the most trying and challenging circumstances. I was hearing one lecture of His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj recently. He was speaking about Rukmini. Amazing determination Rukmini had. He was saying Rukmini was not actually, she was desperate that Krishna comes and rescues her. But Krishna didn't come and tell her that, don't worry, I will come and I will take you tomorrow. Don't worry. Or he didn't kidnap her till the last moment. He sent the Brahmana, he sent many messages, that happened. But still, she was not sure, in the sense, there was nothing tangible. Krishna didn't actually come. Krishna could have come one day before and taken her. But Krishna, Maharaj was saying that Krishna tested Rukmini till the last moment. So as she was going to the temple, Durga temple, and she was adjusting the ring on her finger and she was entering, and all these princes and kings, Shishupal and everybody was standing. And at that moment, just at the last moment, Krishna came and took her. So Maharaj was saying, if Krishna can test Rukmini, and till the last moment she feels she is not experiencing reciprocation from Krishna, then who are you and me? So we may say that, oh, I'm chanting and still I'm struggling. And then give another example. He said, Haridas Thakur was chanting 192 rounds every day. But still Maya Devi came and tested him. Still the prostitute came and tested him. So if somebody like Haridas Thakur can be tested despite chanting 192 rounds, how can we, with our 16 sleeping rounds and inattentive rounds, expect Krishna not to test us? You know? So it is not something we should feel disheartened. We should know that this is a part of our purification. Krishna wants us to surrender and be fixed that I am a servant. On another occasion, Vishwarup Prabhu asked this question to Maharaj in the Bhagavatam class. Maharaj, I am chanting Hare Krishna for the last 20 years and still I am not feeling taste in the holy name. Maharaj said, you may chant for another 40 years and still you may not feel taste. But that doesn't mean the holy name is not powerful, most powerful. He said, you got a very interesting point, Maharaj said. If Krishna wants, tomorrow morning he can give you, when you are chanting, he can give you pure taste, pure holy name. And if Krishna doesn't want, he may not give you for another 40 years. It's up to Krishna. But be assured that if you are sincere, even if you don't have taste, as you are leaving this body, at that time Krishna will come and reveal the whole spiritual world to you and he will take you. But till that point of time, you endeavor sincerely. So it's like that. So we have to not give up Krishna consciousness, even though it's painful, apparently it's struggle. Because if we give up Krishna, then what hope we have? Jagata karana tumi jagata jivan tuma chada koro nahi e radha raman. Oh Krishna, if I give you up, then I have no hope. And e atamam prabadyante. We give up Krishna. Krishna actually doesn't give up. But we don't experience reciprocation from Krishna. And then we feel Krishna has given us up. Jagata, the next verse he says, Bhuvana mangala tumi bhuvanera pati tumi upakhile nata ki hoi begati. If you give me up, what will happen, Krishna? If I give you up, it's miserable. And in the next line, the Vaishnava Acharya is praying that, but if you give me up, what will happen? I have no hope. So I want to hold on to the path of devotional service. So this is very, very important. And also, you know, it's actually not very complicated and difficult. It's very simple. Burijan Prabhu, in this most amazing book, he has said, actually, Krishna consciousness is blissful. If we can simply chant, pronounce the Hare Krishna Mahamantra clearly, we can experience all the happiness. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu says in one seminar that if we can simply hear the holy name, pronounce clearly, then we will find this world a very happy place. Practically speaking, we will be blissful. So it all depends on our sadhana. Just listen to the holy name. And many times devotees feel, oh, because I have been chanting inattentively, because my sadhana is bad, it's hopeless. And we may justify our lower standards by saying, oh, it's beyond me. But Krishna knows it's beyond us, but Krishna is waiting to see us express our desire to serve Krishna during especially those moments when we remember the philosophy. You know, sometimes when chanting, we remember. Oh, you're supposed to chant attentively. We remember some lecture points or something. And at that time, what we do? We generally continue to indulge in the laziness or we don't endeavor. Krishna wants us to break against that resistance at that point of time. So inattentive chanting doesn't mean that mind doesn't wander. 100% mind will wander, because if the mind doesn't wander while chanting, either a person is pure devotee or he has to see some psychiatrist. You know? mind will go everywhere. So Krishna knows our fallen condition, but Krishna is very kind. He wants us to express our desire to serve Krishna moment to moment, especially when we remember. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopina Nitai Gaur Chandra Gopal Ji Ki Jai. Just that moment. If we can do that, then we have passed the test. Like, you know, in the boxing they have. So there's a big boxer and a small child if they're having a boxing match. So this child will be defeated, knocked. So we are like that child fighting against the mind. We'll definitely be knocked out. But, you know, like in the boxing, the person gets beaten and he falls on the ground. And then the referee is counting 1, 2, 3, and then he gets up somehow. And again, so it's like that. You know, when we sit down to chant, it's like that. Constantly knock, we fall. But if we give up the fight, then we lose the mercy. We have to get up and again, Hare Krishna, we have to chant. And Krishna is waiting that once if we can hear the holy name, once. One mahamantra if we can hear attentively. It's like, you know, one punch to the mind. Just once. So in that whole 16 rounds, we may maximum hear a few mahamantras. But Krishna is seeing that sincerity, that endeavor. Generally in the boxing match, somebody is lost, badly beaten, he is lying on the ground, and in the end the referee stands. And you know, the winner, he picks up his hand like this, and the loser is gone. But in Hare Krishna, it's a little different. Somebody is chanting, whole while the mind is wandering, is completely lost the fight, but he has tried hard to listen to the holy name. Somehow he is not giving up. Then in the end, although we have lost, Krishna, the referee, will raise our hand, you know. It's very... It's very hopeful. Krishna consciousness is very hopeful. Krishna knows we are fallen. But Krishna is just waiting to see how sincere we are. We just have to be sincere. Like, you know, in sports also they show, if somebody is losing the match, in tennis, for example, somebody is losing the match, 6-0, 6-0, 5-0, he's losing, but if you see, the loser is playing as if he's going to win the tournament. You'll never see the sportsmen just, you know, give up. They'll play as if, and then if they don't play well, and see, generally the media doesn't criticize sports people for playing bad, they criticize them for their attitude. He doesn't have a spirit, you know, fighting. Krishna also knows we are going to lose against the mind. But Krishna is seeing our attitude. Are we struggling? Are we trying to chant attentively? So therefore, we should not give up and we should just continue. And especially, especially we should know that it is the same old problem. Even after years, we find that we are struggling. But there are some basic things that Srila Prabhupada has given us, which we have to repeatedly emphasize. And that is chanting and hearing. Because constantly if you are chanting and hearing about Krishna, then, because many times people say, tell us something practical. This is the most practical. Submissively hearing about Krishna Katha. Because the more we hear submissively, the more our remembrance of our position as servant increases. And when we are chanting or when we are put in difficult situation, Krishna gives us the remembrance of our position as servant and we are able to sustain that period. Therefore, it's very important to constantly be hearing and chanting. Mahavishnu Maharaj, one article we had put up in the Brahmacharya Ashram notice board, Mahavishnu Maharaj says, even if our devotional service is mechanical, don't give up chanting. Don't think that there is something better I could do. Even if it is a struggle, continue, don't give up the holy name. So he gave the example of how after the Mahabharata war, Arjuna, in the end, Krishna told Arjuna, you get down from the chariot first. So Arjuna got down. And then when Krishna got out of the chariot, what happened to the chariot? It burned to ashes. So then Arjuna asked why this happened. So Krishna explained that during the war, so many Brahmastras and so many weapons were being hurled at you, but I was taking it all. So then Mahavishnu Maharaj says, similarly, we have to keep chanting, not give up chanting, because if Krishna is there in the chariot of our life, if we allow Krishna to be there, Krishna, because of that holy name, that shelter of the process, because of that, Krishna will take all the attacks, all the bewilderment, all the problems. This is a crazy, bizarre material world. It can make even the most sober person go crazy and mad. So many things go against our desire, so many things go unfavorably. So, but we just can't give up the process. Krishna will take it all. And if we allow Krishna to leave the chariot of our life, then we'll be burned to ashes. So chanting is most important. And along with chanting, constant hearing about Krishna's pastimes. It may appear sometimes very simplistic, you know, hearing about Krishna's pastimes or same stories we have heard so many times. No, it has a great potency, just hearing regularly. And along with this, and this chanting and hearing is not mechanical. This chanting and hearing has to be imbued with strong feelings of gratitude for the mercy that Srila Prabhupada and spiritual master have given us. If you carefully analyze, the kind of facility we have for hearing and chanting is amazing, unbelievable. So much opportunities for hearing, chanting, so much facilities have been created. So we have to be grateful. And then when we are grateful, then this process is blissful. I remember sometime back, I was very spaced out in Guru Puja. And I was just waiting, you know, when this will get over. And suddenly at that time, one devotee came with a garland. What happened? The previous day was some initiation program or something, and many garlands were left. So this devotee came and put a garland on another devotee. And then suddenly we saw hundreds of garlands coming, and everybody is putting garland on each other. And everybody is having garlands on their body, and they were all dancing. And it was ecstatic dancing, and the kirtan, the tempo built up. And Radhana Swami Maharaj had already gone to his room, but he came back to see the kirtan. He was also so excited, and he was smiling blissfully. And Chandramouli Swami Maharaj was there leading the kirtan. He was dancing wildly, and everybody was wild, you know, not in the negative sense, it's different wild. Here, wild means with intense love and devotion. That way wild. So like that, it was going on intense. Everybody was dancing, it was ecstatic kirtan. And then I was forced to be blissful in that kirtan. My mind was not there. And then after the whole kirtan, Krishna arranged a very nice situation. Chandrabali Maharaj came to the ashram and few brahmacharis were there. Now Chandrabali Maharaj has been in ISKCON since 1970s, early 70s, 40 years. And he's saying, Prabhus, you are so fortunate, all of you. In my last 40 years, I have not experienced a Guru Puja kirtan like this in my life. This is the most ecstatic kirtan I've ever participated. And that was like a big jolt, you know. And here we are getting it every day. And of course, Maharaj, this also reveals how Krishna consciousness is so blissful that he must have attended so many ecstatic kirtans and festivals, but every day is a festival for a devotee who has taken shelter of the process of hearing and chanting. He finds every day blissful. He finds every moment a festival. It's actually a non-stop party. Krishna consciousness is a non-stop party if you have the right attitude, you know. So actually it all boils down ultimately to that attitude. Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Instruction preface, I think he writes, Nectar of Instruction preface or first chapter he writes that advancement preface, no? Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. So that attitude is what makes all the difference. And here we can see same thing is happening. Hearing chanting, what Sukadeva Goswami is describing, the descriptions of Lord Vaman, this beauty we are reading, how he is decorated with different ornaments. This is the second part of this section. First was what we discussed about Bali Maharaj's integrity. Second is the beauty of Lord Vishnu, Lord Vamandev. So you may find it very, we may not find it very attractive, but actually if you hear with contemplation, if you hear attentively and read it with devotion, then we are actually getting connected to Krishna's personal beauty. Srimad Bhagavatam is so wonderful, such a wonderful gift Prabhupada has given us. We have all the reasons to be grateful. In the very first canto, in that very beautiful verse where Kunti Devi is praying, Namo Pankaja Nabhaya, Namo Pankaja Maline, Namo Pankaja Netraya, Namaste Pankajangre. That, my dear Lord, your navel is like lotus flower, and Namo Pankaja Netraya, your eyes are like lotus petals, and your lotus feet, like that. She is glorifying all the limbs of the Lord's body, comparing it with lotus. In that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes how Krishna's deity form is a representation. In the material world, for us, we can understand Krishna is actually incarnated. We can see Krishna comes as the deity form. And when we take shelter of Krishna's deity form, we are actually able to experience connection with Krishna. And Prabhupada writes there, the temple should have a soothing atmosphere and devotees should come together. So Prabhupada has given us Bhagavatam to get attracted to Krishna, and he has given us practical deity worship, ISKCON temples, where our connection with Krishna can be established. And this beauty of Vamandev, which is being described here, is the theme in all the cantos. In all the cantos, we'll find, practically all the cantos, we'll find descriptions of Krishna's beauty. So for us, Krishna consciousness is very simple. We have to just read Bhagavatam. First canto, not only Kunti's prayers, Bhishmadev, Tadopasmritya Girah Sahasranir, Vimukta Sangam Manadi Purushe, Krishna Lasatpita Pate Chaturbuje, Purastitya Milita Vridya Vidarayat. Bhishma withdrew all his consciousness from everything else and focused on Krishna's beauty. He remembered Krishna's flowing hair, you know, which was smeared with dust, and the body smeared with blood because of the arrow spear. So whole description is given. How Sadeva Devo Bhagavan Pratikshitam Kalevaram Yavad Idam Inomyaham. He is remembering Krishna's Prasanna Hasa Runalochanolasan. He is remembering Krishna's lotus-like eyes. Whole description is given about Krishna. This is the first canto. And second canto, Sukadeva Goswami gives detailed description about Krishna's limbs, his hair, snigdha mala kunchita neela kuntaler. Oh, Krishna has slick hair, curly hair. And then also, how we should meditate on Krishna's deity form is described by Sukadeva Goswami. Eka eka shongani dhyanu bhavayet pada diyavadhasitam gadabhritam. Jitam jitam sthanam apoya dharayet param param shudyati dhiryata yatha. Ekai kashongani dhyanu bhavayet. When we come in front of the Lord's deity form, slowly, step by step, from the lotus feet, we go up and take darshan of the Lord's form. Padadi yavad hasitam gadabhruta. From the lotus feet, we take darshan and come up to the lotus smile of the Lord. And what will happen by this? Jitam jitam sthanam apoya dharayet. As we are progressing in our meditation on Krishna's transcendental form, then the anarthas, influence on us goes away. Param param shuddh yati dhir yata yata. As and when we are progressing on our meditation on Krishna's lotus form, beautiful form, so like that, our anarthas also go away. And Prabhupada in that purport writes beautiful point, one whole paragraph on lust. How all conditioned souls are afflicted by lust, but Krishna is so mercifully come in the form of deities so that we can get attracted to him and we can overcome this deadly anartha. So like this, there are detailed descriptions about what kind of ornaments Krishna wears. Vibhushitam me kalayang guliyakir. Even what he has on his fingers. Mahadhaner nupura. From the finger to the toe, what all he is wearing, what all he has is described. This is second canto. And third canto, Kapiladev describes a sure shot strategy for overcoming lust. What is that? Hasam hare ravanata kilalokativra. Shoka shrusagara vishoshanamatyudaram. Sammohanaya rachitam nijamaya yasya. Brumandala munikrite makaradvajasya. He says we should meditate on Krishna's smile. Hasam harer avanata kila lokativra. Shokashru. He says the shoka, the lamentation of a living entity, the tears of lamentation, shokashru. One person's tears of lamentation can form an ocean. Shokashru sagara. So we have enough reasons for lamentation. Lamentation, illusion, fear. It's like an ocean. But taking shelter of Krishna's form, which Sukadeva Goswami is describing in today's verse, which we are reading, beautiful descriptions of Lord Vamandev's transcendental form. When we meditate like this, especially in the third canto, Kapiladev is talking about Krishna's smile. What happens to this ocean of lamentation? Shokashtu sagara vishoshanam. That sagar, that ocean dries up. Sammohanaya rachitam nijamaya yasya. And we can overcome the insurmountable maya if you meditate on Krishna's smile. And then brumandala munikrite. Makaradvaja means Cupid. So we can overcome the arrows, the piercing arrows of Cupid if you meditate on brumandala, the eyebrows of Krishna. So these are practical tips given in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is the most practical. Sometimes you may want practical seminars, you know, on leadership seminars and practical tips. But these are all very beautifully given. And the next verse is, he goes a step further, Kapiladev, after telling us to meditate on Krishna's smile, then Krishna's eyebrows. And next verse, Dhyanayanam prahasitam bahuladaroshtha bhasa runaita tanu dvijakunda pankti dhyaye svadeha kuhare vasitasya vishnor bhaktya dryar pitamana na pratak didrikshet. Then he says, then we should meditate on Krishna's laughter. Dhyanayanam prahasitam bauladaroshta. And then how? Then when Krishna laughs, bhasarunayata tanu dujakunda pankti, his teeth are shining, radiant. So they can be seen. Actually, the only deities we have seen is Radharaman's photograph. We have seen some photographs of Radharaman ji in Vrindavan they show the teeth. But generally we don't see. So what? Bauladarashta Basaranatana Dinakunda Pakti Dhyaye Svadeha Kuare Vasitasya Vishnur. So like this, we meditate on Lord Krishna's form, all our anarthas will go away. So like this, Bhagavatam is filled with descriptions. 4th canto, Dhruva Maharaj is seeing the transcendental form of Krishna. 5th, like that. And 10th canto is filled with descriptions about Krishna's form. So like this, we take shelter of... this is one of the 5 processes of devotional service. One of the 5 most potent. Hearing, chanting, we have already described. And deity worship is one of the 5. And Prabhupada has given us deity worship in ISKCON. Such high standards. In fact, Prabhupada as a young boy was serving deities. He had Radha Govind deities, personal deities. But when he went to college, he had so much study. So he kept these deities locked in the cupboard. He was involved in politics and college affairs. And one day, Radha Govind came in his dream and said, why have you kept us locked in cupboard? We want to take service from you. Then Prabhupada resumed the worship. So Prabhupada, he himself was attached to deities from childhood, and he has given us, through ISKCON temples, opportunity for us to come every Sunday and take darshan of deities and get attached to Krishna's deity form. One Srila Prabhupada has asked, Prabhupada, did you go for Rathyatra in Puri when you were a child? Prabhupada said, oh, I used to have my own Rathyatras at that time. So what Prabhupada did when he grew up was he continued his childhood play in one sense. You know, he was having, he established Krishna consciousness in such far out, unimaginable places. Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, they came where? They came to Haight-Ashbury, which was considered as the capital of the hippies. And now we call it as New Jagannath Puri. San Francisco is New Jagannath. Los Angeles, the capital of Hollywood, that is called as New Dwarka. Look at Prabhupada's potency. You know? France, New Mayapur. Pittsburgh, West Virginia. New Vrindavan. Like that. So Barsana Maharaj was saying that Prabhupada did not install deities, he installed dhams. You know, he gave us holy places directly. So we are very fortunate that these are the two main points of today's purport, today's section in the Srimad Bhagavatam that we are reading. First was that how Bali Maharaj displayed exemplary level of integrity, and we have to stick to Krishna consciousness, heaven or hell, with faith. And second point is about beautiful description of Krishna's form, which we can also take shelter of through the process of deity worship. And if we continue like this, although Krishna consciousness may appear challenging, but in the association of devotees, through the process of hearing, chanting and deity worship and all the other limbs of devotional service, we can be blissful and we can be happy. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Yes, bro.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for a very hopeful class. Prabhu, this point about integrity, many times we see that it is easy to maintain integrity within Krishna consciousness. That means dealing with devotees, dealing with the deities, and things like that. But how do you make sure that it permeates into all our other activities also, whether it is doing business, whether it is dealing with non-devotees? Because in Krishna consciousness, maybe it is easy to be, you know, to have integrity, but many times it doesn't work outside, in the sense, so how do we maintain that faith that even if we have integrity outside of Krishna consciousness, still we will, you know, manage to pull through?
One, I'm sure others may have better things to add. One way is reminding ourselves that if we lack integrity in other spheres of our life, and if we think that I'll do my Krishna conscious activities sincerely, and in other areas I will be a, I won't say hypocrite, but I'll just, you know, I'll not be sincere, then eventually our Krishna conscious process will also be influenced negatively. And secondly, we need to integrate it. See, if we see our activities are separate from Krishna conscious activities, then there is a problem. But if we see that my business is actually a part of my devotional offering to Krishna, so the more we connect all so-called other aspects of our life to core Krishna conscious activities, then it will not be such a big problem. But our problem many times, what happens is we think, okay, Hare Krishna is one thing, this is one aspect of my life, but this is a completely different aspect. But if you know, this is not a different aspect, this is being done so that I can do my devotional service nicely. If you see all the other things we are doing in connection with Krishna consciousness, then we can live a life of integrity. Like sometimes, you know, we may chant Hare Krishna. The idea is, I will chant, somehow finish my rounds. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, finish my rounds. I got so many things to do, important things to do. That's a very, very disastrous thing to do, you know. Let me somehow finish my rounds. When I'm chanting also, I'm thinking of so many things to do during the day. So what happens eventually? Our chanting is bad. And during other things we are doing, we are not feeling happy. And we are thinking of chanting. Oh, I chanted badly. We are miserable both ways, so both times. So let us forget other things during chanting. See, just like during chanting, we are thinking of so many things to do during the day. Let us ask ourselves very honestly, when we are in the middle of so many things during the day, how many times do we think of chanting? Very rarely. So, I think we have to integrate. We should know that it has connection with Krishna consciousness. And especially while chanting, during our sadhana, if we are focused, then Krishna gives us the strength to lead a life of integrity at all times. Like, you know, during the whole day, we have so many things to do. And during chanting, we are contemplating how to do them. Or we are also thinking of what has to be done. These are the two questions we ask ourselves while chanting. What and how? What has to be done today? What are the different things to be done today? And second, how it has to be done? So this what and how, these are the two questions we are not supposed to ask during our sadhana time. During sadhana time, if at all any question we have to answer is the question of why. Why am I doing this? This is for the pleasure of Krishna. This is for my purification. Why am I serving? Why am I chanting Hare Krishna? This is to please Krishna from transcendental senses. So the question why has to be answered during sadhana. But what happens generally during chanting, we are answering the question what and how. What has to be done today? How it has to be done? I'll do like this, then I'll meet him, then I'll call him up. Oh, this has to be done, this has not to be done. And then during rest of the day, what happens? We are answering the question, why? Why am I doing this? Why this devotional service? Who am I? This is such a burden. So we have to play our roles properly and know that I'm a servant of Krishna and whatever is conducive for Krishna consciousness, we have to do. Okay, Rishamanu. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a fascinating class. One of the things that has bothered me over the years in Krishna consciousness is that Krishna consciousness keeps on becoming more and more subtle. We feel that this is a principle which I have understood, and then it becomes a little more subtle. So this changing face of subtlety in Krishna consciousness becomes a real challenge for at least a person like me, because then you feel that you'll never be able to make it. You talked about that long tunnel, what is that, plateau kind of thing, graph you're discussing. So it seems that the more you try to practice Krishna consciousness properly, the subtler it gets.
Actually, it can be exactly the opposite, you know. It can, instead of being very what you are saying, like subtle and basically kind of hopeless, kind of what is the situation, it can be a very blissful experience, because this proves that Krishna consciousness is dynamic. There are such realizations awaiting for us to be plundered, you know. Like we may think, 10 years I have practiced bhakti nicely, now I think I know everything, and then we get a realization that whatever I have done so far in my last 10 years is nonsense. Now I have understood everything. Now I am going to begin properly. And then we begin. And after 5 years, we get the realization, whatever I did till today was actually not devotional service. Now I have understood. Now I am going to start a new innings, second innings. And then another 2 years. And then we feel, okay, now I am starting. So it's like that. It's very... So two things can happen. One attitude is, oh, it can be depressing. Hare, what I did was this. The other way is, wow, Krishna is so merciful. He's revealing me a new realization. So, I think it just depends on how we see it. And especially if we have association, strong association.
Yeah.
Then we share our realizations with others. This is what I had last 10 years. This is what I felt. And then the other devotee shares his. Oh, then that nectar churned. It enriches our Krishna consciousness. Actually, at this juncture, I remembered one very powerful prayer of Dhruva Maharaj. This answers, this gives importance to associating like this with devotees. He says in his prayer, Bhakti Muhu Prabhatam Tvayame Prasango. And Lord Vishnu is standing in front of him, asking him for a benediction, take a benediction. He is saying, Bhakti Muhu Prabhatam Tvayame Prasango, give me association of devotees. And Prabhupada translates the word Prasango as intimate association. Bhakti muhu pravatam tvayame prasango bhuyad ananta mahatam amalashayanam enanja solbanamuru vesanam bhavabdim neshe bhavat gunakatam ritapanamatte. Dhruva Maharaj is saying that this ocean of material existence, as you are saying, not only is subtle, it's more and more complicated. life appears more and more complicated. Relationships appear more and more complicated. So he's calling it as Uru Vyasanam Bhavabdim, a terrible ocean filled with complications and mess. So it's, but what I want? Prasango. I want intimate association of devotees. Because in their association, Neshe Bhavat Gunakatam Vratapana Matta, I want to become mad to hear about your qualities and your pastimes. So this is actually the most practical solution. Hearing about Krishna in the association of devotees. Because that alone, and the reason why you are getting newer and newer realizations is because of this. Because of associating with devotees and living in a culture of hearing and chanting. So that really helps. We'll stop here. It's 10. So, okay, you can, please. I'm sorry, Shriram Sakhi, you also raised your hand.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. It gave a lot of hope. Prabhuji, you said the nature of the sugar, salt, liquid and all that, but you also said once you come to the position of accepting that you are the servant, then it becomes perfect, things become much easier. But it is very difficult to understand what you are supposed to do as a servant. Very often there is a lot of confusion. Like Prabhuji earlier was asking, how do we deal with material situations? In Krishna consciousness, we know almost okay. We hope we know what we are supposed to do. But when it comes to one's personal life or official life, so many other problems do come in and interfere. How does the consciousness of one being a servant of Krishna help one to overcome all these dilemmas that arise in the course of one's normal material life?
What is the meaning of being a servant? What does a servant do? What is a servant's position? He is dependent on the master. So when we say I'm a servant, it's not an intellectual acceptance of being a servant. When I accept my position as a servant, what is synonymous or what goes without saying is that we raise our hands and just tell Krishna, Krishna, I've tried everything, this is beyond me. You have to take control of my life. You have to reveal to me what is good. So the taking shelter, the process of taking shelter, of depending on Krishna, internally crying out, Krishna, I've tried everything. I'm trying my own bits and pieces. But this is useless. Unless you intervene, unless your causeless mercy descends, I cannot. Even chanting, we are giving so many techniques and all this. Ultimately, all these techniques are to show Krishna that I'm trying something. But what is most important is to express our complete dependence on Krishna. And we have to have this conviction that all my efforts will prove futile. So Krishna, for that expression to Krishna that I cannot solve my problems, Krishna. That is being a servant. It's not simply, okay, I'm a servant, but still I'm having problems. Because I'm thinking I can solve them. I've got things in my, I want to get things in my control, in my grip. I've got the holy name in my grip. I heard the holy name. I got it. That is a mood of being in control. So okay, I'm a servant. Okay, now I know the secret of good chanting. I'm a servant. Now my chanting is going to be good. No, it's not going to be good because implicit in that acceptance of being a servant is the feeling that I can control my situation and I can get the holy name and I can master the holy name or I can solve my problems. It is implicit in that acceptance of servant. So when we say actually servant, what we actually mean is Krishna, you know, oh, I can't handle this. We have to basically surrender to Krishna. And then Krishna reveals each devotee has his unique realizations in Krishna consciousness. And Krishna is not a sadist. He is actually waiting for us to surrender. And then Krishna guides us through that, what the materialistic people call as the power of conscience. Krishna as the Paramatma, he reveals. Of course, there are devotees who guide us. But sometimes we may have 2-3 devotees saying contradictory things. And that may also cause confusion. But sincerity of practice and surrender to Krishna will help us follow the path sincerely. This is my 2 paise worth understanding. We'll stop here, Prabhu. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Shri Shraddha Gopinath ki jai, Shri Lalita Vishakha Devi ki jai, Gopal ji ki jai, Shri Shrinitai Gaur Chandra ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.